This chazar is a chenishah barichet cheshtag mevam Yehudim sechdi bam mevtas sadik aleph. Misha said bas koyim in a truma. She's a gemara. She's even possibly truma drabanan. Misha said ve'ein yoshu zeh chulu. Why are we discussing her ksuba when we said before she doesn't get a ksuba? So our papa said this is referring to the ksuba b'din dichrin, which says that the property brought into the marriage by the wife will only be inherited by her own children. Meaning, if she predeceases her husband and he inherits her estate upon his death, these properties will only be inherited by her children and not by any other children the husband may have had. So that's what we're referring to over here. This is a Tanai Ksuba, and since we said there's no Ksuba, obviously there's no Tanai Ksuba. Mar says we would think that only she who did an Isser is penalized, but her children are not penalized. Mishnah teaches that they too are penalized by losing this Tanai Ksuba. The Mishnah said, Achav shel zeh v'achav shel zeh. Choltzim v'chulo, the brother, the first man, one has to do chalitza deraisa, and he can't do yibim, only derabonon. The brother, the second man, has to do chalitza only derabonon, and may not do yibim based on deraisa or derabonon. Rabbi Yosi Yoyim, the Mishnah said, Ksubasa al nichse bala harishon v'chulu. Rahuna said that the three tanaim listed at this point in the Mishnah are listed in order of increasing chiddush, so that the first will not hold it a chiddush of the later, but the later will certainly hold it a chiddush of the earlier. Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says that even the Bia was not penalized, so certainly he would agree with Rabbi Elazar that the money would not be penalized, although Rabbi Elazar would not agree with him. Also, they would both agree that if the money which is meant to keep a marriage together is not penalized, and the ksuba, which is meant to be collected at the termination of marriage, is not penalized, like Rabbi Yosi said, although Rabbi Yosi would not agree with them. Rabbi Yochanan said that the Tanaim are listed in order of decreasing chiddush, so that the first will certainly hold of the later chiddush, but the later will not hold of the earlier. Meaning, if Rabbi Yosi did not penalize the ksuba payment from him to her, he surely will not penalize the monetary payment of Rabbi Elazar, which goes from her to him. But Rabbi Elazar would not agree with Rabbi Yosi. They'll both hold that if these lifetime rights were not penalized, and certainly the yibam, which takes place after death, will not be penalized, like Rav Shimon said. However, Rav Shimon would not agree with them. The Mishnah said, Nisei Shaloi Birshus V'chuler. Rav Huna, name of Rav, says that we pask in this way. Rav Nachman said to Rav Huna, you should have either said that the halacha follows Rav Shimon, who is the author of this part of the Mishnah, or if you're concerned that it will make it sound like you hold like Rav Shimon in his earlier psak as well, then at least say you hold like Rav Shimon in his later psak. That's what he asked. Rav Sheisha said, I think Rav was sleeping when he made the statement, because it makes it sound like there are those who argue and make it usher, even if she married based on two witnesses. However, this can't be, because what else should she have done? Also, a Brisa says that a woman who remarries based on two witnesses does not need a get from the second man, but if she married based on one witness, she would need a get. This brisa can't be following Rav Shimon, because he says in another brisa that neither of these women would need a get. The Gemara and Rav Ashi and Ravina each interpret the second brisa in a way that can make Rav Shimon's view fit with the first brisa as well. If so, the first brisa may be following only the view of Rav Shimon, which would mean that the Rabbanan may actually argue on him, which is why Rav had to pask him the way he did. The Gemara gives another answer, which explains the first brisa as following the view of the Rabbanon, and which requires a get in both cases. This confirms that the Rabbanon argue on Rav Shimon, and it's the reason why Rav had to explain that he follows the view of Rav Shimon, because the Rabbanon do argue on him. Ula asked, how could Rav Sheisha say that what else should he have done? What else should she have done? How is that a valid reason to say that we don't penalize her? Mishnah says, if a get is written with a certain detailed flaws, like the dated to the wrong kingdom, written giving the wrong location, etc., the get is puzzle, and if she gets married to a second man, she's penalized in all the ways mentioned, like we said in our mission. Now, if in that case, given that she's no expert, what else should she have done? Yet she's still penalized. Mar says, because she should have shown it to an expert. Rav Simon Bar Ashi, as the mission says, if one of the Yavamas get Yibam, and based on that, another Yavama went and married another man, it's later discovered that the Yavama taken in Yibam was an islandess, so the other Yavama has to divorce her husband and is penalized in many ways. Here also, we can say, what else she have done, yet we penalize her. And Mar says she should have waited until she was certain that the woman taken in Yibam was not an islandist. Abaye asked, the Mishnah says if the tsarist of an erva went and married other men, and it then turned out that the erva was an islandist, the tsarist have to get divorced and they're penalized, etc. We should say what else should she have done? And you were saying even though over here there was nothing else she could have done, yet we're penalizing her. Mar says they should have waited until they were certain that the woman taken in Yibam was not an islandist. Rava asked, the Mishnah says if the soifer mistakenly gave the get to a woman and the receipt for the ksuba payment to the man, and they went ahead and exchanged these two documents, and he thought that he gave her the get, and in fact he never gave her a get, and she got married based on this get, she has to get divorced and is penalized in all these ways. Now over here also we should say what else should she have done, and yet we see we penalize her. Mar says she should have read the get before marrying. Rashi, as the Mishnah says, if the cipher changed the names or the names of the cities and she got married based on the get, she has to get divorced and is penalized, etc. We should say what else should she have done, so why are we penalizing her? Mar says because she should have read the get before marrying. Ravina asked, the Mishnah says if a woman remarried based on a bald get, what does that mean? It's a special get that requires additional signatures, but it's missing some of those signatures, she has to get divorced and she's penalized. Over here also we should say what else should she have done, and yet we penalize her. Mar says she should have read the get again before marrying, like we've been saying all along. Rav Ashi said, we don't make a woman get divorced and impose the other penalties based on a rumor that the first husband has reappeared. What type of rumor are we talking about, Frank Nimar? If it's a rumor after the Nisuin, Rav Ashi has already said once that we don't concern ourselves with rumors after Nisuin. Nimar said, we would have thought that since this woman could not marry without getting permission from Bezdin first, it is considered as if the rumor was already there before the Nisuin. Because the fact that she needs permission to get married, it shows that maybe there's some type of rumor the husband's around. Because if not, then why can't she just get married without permission from Bezdin? So we would think it's considered like the rumor was already there before the Nisuin. Rav Ashi therefore teaches that even in this case, the rumor which came out after the Nisuin is not a matter of concern for us at all.